And serving our King is what we're about. Our scripture reading today, let's stand while we read God's word. It comes from Romans 14, 7 and 8. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us die to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly asking for your help. Give us the direction and the words that you have for us, that they will penetrate our hearts and lives, that we may live for you. Give us your graces this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, again, it was great that you've asked us back. That doesn't always happen, so we pray, praise God for that. Again, a little bit of introduction. Elsie and I were missionaries in Ukraine for over 10 years. When the Russians invaded the first time, we said that it's probably time to get out. But actually, God was calling us to Germany. We were then in Germany for a year and then came back to Michigan, never thinking that we'd be back here. When God sends you somewhere, he sends you somewhere for a purpose and a reason, and that's to take the gospel to where he wants you to be. So whether it's Ukraine or Germany or Detroit or northern Michigan, that's where God wants us to be. And we know that because we have in Isaiah 6, we have a vision from the Lord Isaiah had. And this vision is very powerful. In the year of that king, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood seraphim. Each had six wings, and two covered his face, and two covered his feet, and with two he flew. And the one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Can you imagine being Isaiah and seeing this vision? Think about that. What that was like to see God and Christ for who they are. And what does he do? We'll jump down a little bit. He basically falls on his face. He says, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." What's he doing? Repenting. All you can do when you see Christ for who he is, all you can do is fall on your face and repent and say, "Lord, woe is me." And then he gets a call. In verse 8, "I heard the voice of the Lord say, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Isn't that what happens when Christ changes our hearts and our lives? Our scripture reading today is a little bit strange. You wouldn't think that it's a missions type verse. I don't know why God brought this to me. I really don't, because it's like, you read it, "For none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." How is that a mission verse? Because you guys asked us to talk about our ministries and what we did in Ukraine. And we're not going to talk about that really too much. We're going to talk about what God is calling us to do. But when you look at this verse, it's kind of like today, a gloomy day. And it's kind of maybe a gloomy verse a little bit, you know, talking about living and dying. You know, this week has kind of been a tough week. I got a call from my sister who's been very ill, and she is going into hospice. And she called me and said that she's dying. Well, praise God, because she knows Christ and who he is. And our hope is in Christ, right? And then Wednesday, we went to the elders meeting at Emmanuel Evangelical in Petoskey and learned that Pastor Bob, his heart is failing. And it's getting weak. So be praying for Pastor Bob. It's a tough week. So when I read this verse, all I think about is dying. Well, maybe that's not what this verse is all about. Maybe it's about living and living for Christ. The first question in the New City Catechism, a catechism is basically just questions and answers, right? Questions about God. And the question is, what is our hope in life and in death? A good question. Who is our hope? What is our hope in life and in death? And it comes, and the answer on this, they say that you are not your own, but belong body and soul, both in life and in death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do we believe it? I hope we do. So if we're Christians here today, we should feel freed that we are not our own. We should feel free that we can go and do anything for our Lord and King. And he is with us. And he will take us to what is needed and where we need to go. There's a statement, a good quote, that I think is relevant for us today. It says, the mark of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. So how is the church doing? We talked about how the church was doing last time I was here. And looks like a few people may have been listening. But the church in America is not doing well. But how is our church doing in sending people out to save, to take the gospel to the nations? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if you know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer is, he was a German theologian. He had it was right during the beginning of World War II. He was a very studious person. He was asked to come to New York to study and to learn more and to teach. He came to New York at the beginning of World War II, being a German. And he really didn't learn much at seminary, but he learned about himself and about the church and what it meant to be part of the church. And he felt that calling. I mean, World War II was raging at this time. He could have stayed in New York as a refugee and could have, but he felt called back to go back to his home area and to serve God. And through that, not necessarily the best thing, but he was part of a plot to assassinate Hitler. And was arrested. And while he was put in prison for 2 years. And when he was there, he wrote these words. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And a few months later, he was executed. on that. I think maybe a better verse and better example is Paul. Paul in Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us." Or maybe even a better statement, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." There will be a cost if we are to follow what Christ has for us. What is that cost? Because he asks us to give him our lives. Isn't that what he did? I read this article. It was a mission. She was a missionary in 2003. Her name's Karen Watson. She wrote this letter to her pastors before she left for the field. Think of the cost. She writes this: "The missionary heart cares more than some people think wise, risks more than some people think is safe, dreams more than some think is practical, expects more than some think is possible. I was not called to comfort or success, but to obedience. There is no joy outside of knowing Jesus and serving him." Why did she go? For joy. She knew her king, and she was following her king. Well, as missionaries, if you're in a mission agency, you often have to write a letter like this. This letter is never supposed to be open, because it's one of those letters that you, on the outside of the envelope, write, "Open upon my death." Elsie and I had to write these before we left for Ukraine, so we understand what these mean to us. So living for Christ when dying is gain. Oswald Chambers, in his book, "My Utmost for His Highest," writes, "I am determined to be absolutely and entirely for him, and for him alone, for our God, and for God alone." There's a song that I love, and it goes like this: "I'm abandoned to the captain of the mighty host of heaven, and I pledge ye my allegiance until the earth beholds his kingdom." How are we to live? You know, today we think of the words, you know, "to live is Christ." But do we believe it? What are the distractions that we have? Isn't it so much easier just to live for the world? Right? What are all the things, our money, our time, our fun, the Detroit Lions? What kind of distractions are out there? I'm not saying it's okay to be a Lions fan. It is. I've waited all my life for them to be here. But at the end of the day, who do we love? What do we love? Because the world has everything and nothing that we need, right? The only thing we need is Christ. And if Christ is our love, we will follow him. In Matthew 13:44, we read these verses: "For the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then for his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went out and sold all that he had and bought it. Isn't this what it means to truly trust Christ in a saving way? That we see Christ for who he is, the lover of our soul. And like Isaiah, we fall down and say, woe is me, for I am ruined. And Christ says, come, follow me. Isn't that saving faith? Isn't that what missions is about? When that happens, don't you stand up and say, oh my God and my King. The question each of us is, has that happened to you? You know, there's a lot of people sitting in churches this morning who you just don't know. You just don't know. So to die to Christ means to die to our affections, to die to our desires, our choices, our possessions, our goals. We were bought with a price, and that price is following Christ. Did not Paul write to Timothy and say, be a good soldier? Follow me? He said no soldier is enlisted and does civilian things. You're a soldier. Follow your King. When are we to consider the radical nature of what it means to be a Christian? What it means to serve Christ in a way that is different than the world. Because if we live like the world, can we really say we are a Christian? Think about that. If we live like everyone else, all the things, all the distractions, and then we come on Sunday and we sit in a pew for a little while, sing a couple songs, and that was good, but Monday we're living the same as we always have. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? Because I'm preaching to myself. Because how are we to live? Matthew 16:24 helps us. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Taking up your cross, what does that mean? It's hard to understand. What does that mean? We don't live in the day that he did. Take up that thing, that cross on which you will be executed. That's what a cross is, right? In the early 1600s in Japan, Christianity was starting to thrive. But the emperor of Japan didn't like it. He didn't like what was going on. And he put out an edict, get rid of all the Christians in the country. And there's stories of at the time, most of it was the Catholic Church, the friars and the priests that were out there. And they brutally, brutally attacked them. Lined them up on crosses, hung upside down at the edge of the ocean and let the tide come in and drown him. Who follows Christ and is willing to go and lose their life to follow him? So how does that affect us today? Us here, sitting here. Some of you, God may be calling you to a far off land. But you have the loaves. You have nothing to lose if Christ is in you. Some of you, you just might want you to go down the road here to where, to the people who have everything of this world but don't know Christ. Is that your mission field? We don't know. But God knows, and God will call you to where he wants you to be. When we were in Ukraine, we had to open two of those letters. The first was a 16-year-old boy. His name was Andrew, our son's friend. He was with us just a couple weeks before he died. His family felt God calling them to this village that was 2 weeks from nowhere, really, out in the middle of nowhere, Ukraine. And Andrew got bird flu. He got double pneumonia, and by the time they called an ambulance and the hospital was 2-3 hours away, he had no chance. The second letter was our friend. He lived across the street, him and his wife, Bob and Sherry DeVozo. Bob was called to retire early, knowing that he needed to go to Ukraine to become a mentor, to help the young guys who were at seminary to learn more of how to serve Christ. And he did this with a passion. Every day he was going out with these guys, mentoring and helping with the guys. And he died in a restaurant, sitting with a friend talking about Christ, and he had a massive heart attack right there and died. To live for Christ when dying is gain. What does that mean? What does that mean to die? Do we believe that when we die, we really don't die, we go and are forever with Christ? Our death is but a moment, not even a moment, if we are Christ. And we will swim in the ocean of his love forever. But if you're not Christ, what will happen? That ocean won't be heaven. And hell is real. And it will be eternity. And hell is the absence of God and knowing his love and his mercy upon us that he gives us right now. It is real. So how are we to live? Oswald Chambers once again helps us. We will never know the joy of self-sacrifice until we abandon everything for our captain. And as Karen Watson said in her letter, there is no joy outside of knowing Christ and following him. I pray that you know that joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve and honor you, Lord. We thank you that Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Lord, may your spirit be with us now. Touch our hearts. May we be abandoned to follow you in ways that this world does not know and understand, but ways that give us joy. Joy that knowing you and following you is above everything, Lord. And if anyone here does not know you, Lord, we ask that you in your spirit touch their heart today. Enlighten them with a joy that is unbelievable, Lord, and guide us. Help us to be a church that is a sending church, not a seating church. Help us to be a people that is so in love with you that we are willing to lay down our life to gain more of you, Lord. We ask this in your holy name.